Well, we want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see everybody. Hope everybody's had a great week this week. Hope you've had a productive week, got something done, and moving on to the next thing. But it's so good to be here this morning. So good to see everybody. Thank you for those that are watching on Facebook. We don't ever want to take your watching for granted. And thank you for that. Those listening perhaps on our webpage as we stream, and maybe even passing through Powder Springs as they tune into our radio station. And, man, I almost have that down pretty good. But anyway, we do want to welcome all visitors that are with us this morning. You are our honored guest, and we thank you so much for visiting with us. And if our ushers could have some slips ready for those who are visiting for the first time, that would be great. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand anymore. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But we do know who is visiting with us, and thank you for coming this morning. And we have quite a lengthy list this morning to read, so if you would just give me a moment or two. I want to mention some prayer requests and some updates, some reminders, and then we have something we want to do briefly this morning. Miss Christy Teague is home from the hospital. She's home from the hospital. She was there for 7 days in Piedmont Hospital. She went home, though, but she's going back on Wednesday is what I'm getting at, and to have the kidney stones removed and then another appointment to have the stents removed. And but I'll tell you what, when we went to go see her last week, she was on that hospital bed. She was smiling. She was giggling. She was laughing. And what an inspiration Miss Christy Teague has been and has been through the years. But let's remember Connie and Brother Larry as well as they move her toward filling 100%. Miss Marianne Sanvey had knee surgery on Wednesday. I've never met someone that was so excited to have a knee replacement done. But she had it done, and she did good, and she's back home. But she's dealing with the first week after surgery, first days, the bruising, the pain, and things like that. So just remember her. I spoke with her before surgery, and she is so ready to keep rounding the women up of the church and taking some out to eat, going to the movies with some. She is definitely a leader in that area. And so I praise the Lord for Miss Marianne and taking the women of the church and doing things, having game night. And from what I hear, game night is not just for women. There's men that come to that. I think Fletcher was a part of that, from what I hear. And so you got to know what you're doing playing games around Fletcher. He'll win on you. But anyway, remember Miss Marianne. Also, Miss Claudia informed me of the McCrickards. Miss Emily, her and Brother Arnold are not doing that good. Emily goes, I believe it's tomorrow, for an eye procedure. Miss Claudia, is that right? An eye procedure? And then from what I was told, Brother Arnold is looking at being on oxygen. And what else was that feeding tube, possibly for the rest of his days? And so let's remember the McCrickers. They are our shut-ins. Of course, Miss Dawn Capistrano's here. Well, let's continue to remember her and her ankle situation, praying for you. And Miss Ashton in the back with her leg that was broke, or foot that was broke. Well, let's continue to remember her in our prayers, and all the others on our prayer list, let's do remember. And you can pick one of those bulletins up to see that list in its entirety in the foyer or to my right, your left. All right, let's change gears a little bit. I want to wish an early happy birthday to Miss Glenda, our one and only Glenda. Tomorrow. 35. Man. 35 times two. Then, of course, we will not be negligent to leave out Miss Lucille Turner and her birthday on Tuesday. And so from what I was told her birthday's on Tuesday, so we wish her a happy birthday as well. All right, just give me a few more moments. As you know, we're moving out of the month of March into April, and so here's the calendar for the month of April. Starting tonight, finishing up March, no Sunday night fellowship. We will have service in the sanctuary tonight. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have our first First Steps class. Our first First Steps class. So if you got saved during Jubilee, I want you to be in this class. I will let you know a location in the church, which room, but a First Steps class for you. This is the reason why we're bringing this class about, is for those who got saved. So please be there. And there's no time limit on this class. We're just going to take a week or two and talk about some first things. Of course, baptism. Someone asked about church membership. And we're going to talk about goals and things like that. So remember that on next Sunday morning, First Steps class. And then April the 9th will be Easter, no PM service. And then on April the 16th, we're starting something new on Sunday nights. The deacons and I have met. A couple of good suggestions were brought forth. And the suggestions were brought forth as a means of revitalization, to bring a freshness and newness of life to our Sunday night services. And so, of course, we've all been praying about it. And so what I want to do is April the 16th on Sunday night, I guess I'm not big on titles as far as ministries, especially not when we're first starting them, but you can call it Sunday Nights Plus. Sunday Nights Plus. This is going to be a 4-week a time frame in the fellowship hall. And it's going to be, of course, casual wear, music, and a devotion during this time. And then after 4 weeks, listen closely, we're going to reconvene. And if good things are flowing, then we're going to stay put. Or we may give it another month. We'll see. But I do want to reconvene after 4 weeks. I don't want to lock us into something and it become routine. And so again, this will be a 4-week time frame on Sunday nights in the fellowship hall as a means of revitalization. And I do want to say that we're not abandoning the sanctuary up here on Sunday nights. This sanctuary was built for the sole purpose of the preaching of the gospel. And we have altars, and it's just set aside for this reason. But along the way, we do want to do some things that could revitalize. And so I'm on board with that. So I hope you know that. I'm on board with moving forward. But I don't want to lock us in. We'll reconvene after 4 weeks and see how it goes and move forward. Or we will regain back in the sanctuary. And I do want to say, on Sunday nights in the sanctuary, we're going to adjust some things. And so it's all about what we bring to the table as individuals, what makes it fresh. So whenever we come to God's house, let's always make sure that we're filled up, ready to pour into, because that's what causes a service to be active or not. So remember these things. And also I have Brother Stephen Sapp opening up that service downstairs. They'll be in the area. He will be opening up that service downstairs on our Sunday Night Plus kickoff. He'll be bringing the lesson that night. Again, light refreshments. Let me emphasize, light refreshments. This is not going to be a dinner every Sunday night. We will continue to have our last night fellowship. We'll be down there anyway. That meeting will be a dinner. That meeting will continue to be food. But the meetings in between will be light refreshments. We're talking about coffee and maybe some donuts, something like that. And so remember that. And then also April the 23rd, this will be our Youth Sunday. And so be in prayer for our Youth Sunday. This is the Sunday before the final fifth Sunday of the month. And so remember the 23rd. All right. You got it? Good. Okay. Brother Allen, do we have something else we want to mention? Brother Ceylon? Okay.
Don't have to worry. I'm not going to sing. This is Pastor's Wife Appreciation Month. That's Miss Christie, if she would come down. There's no way we can repay you for what you do for us in this place. But we know somebody that can and will. And he keeps good records. But we want to give you something just to show our appreciation for all that you do for us, for all that you do for our pastor. Thank you so much. If you have a card, a gift, or something to make sure you have a basket over here behind the organ, maybe this caught you unaware, but the basket will still be there tonight. Also, let me mention Miss Lucille's birthday Tuesday. Let me encourage you to do something. Please drop her a card or a phone call or something. Don't tell her I told you this, but she'll be 95 Tuesday. She's still driving. She's still working at the children's home. Some of you might not know her, but she is a great lady.
Amen.
A great lady. And she deserves anything we can do for her. So I encourage you to drop her a card or a phone call, anything you can do. Thank you. You got something you want to say?
I want to say this caught me unaware, and it's an absolute honor and joy serving with all of you, and I absolutely love you dearly.
All right. Did you get all of that? You won't remember all that, but we will remind you each Sunday as to what's going on Sunday evening. That would be the best way, probably, I guess, to try and keep everyone up to date. Pastor really laid it out for you this morning, but again, I won't remember it by the time the service is over, so I'm sure most of us won't, but we will remind you each week and let you know. It's a month, okay? It's going to be some exciting times. We're excited about it, and I know that we'll enjoy it, and we look forward to it. So again, we'll try and keep you abreast every Sunday morning as to where we're going to be on that evening until once we get through April into May and things change, we'll make sure that we let you know what's going on there too. All right? It's good to be in his house. Amen?
Amen.
We made it through the storm and we got here. Hallelujah. If you'll stand with me, choir stand, church stand, and let's sing. Can we sing There's Something About That Name? Let's worship this morning. Let all heaven and earth. is there something about that name? Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Choir practice today at 4 o'clock. We're trying our best to get ready for Easter, which is right around the corner. Please remember that. On Easter Sunday morning, the choir will present a little program for you, so please pray for us as we try and make that ready for Easter Sunday morning. But it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. And again, if you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. Now let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering as well as the service. CJ, would you pray for us this morning?
Thank you.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. But Jesus arose when they called him, said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, because you held up with all your might, troubled eyes have awoken the Master. He knows your voice, lift your hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun, but seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, because you held on to all your might, child, your guides have awoken the Master. He knows your voice, if your have awoken the Master.
it's been a blessing to be here so far this morning. And woke up this morning with the rumbles of thunder. And so that's typical, I guess, for a Sunday. Seems like it to me. Be nice all week and then the rain roll in on Sunday. But anyway, Lord knows what we need. And had a storm on Friday night as well. Sometimes these storms come suddenly. But it is that change of season where we move from one to the next. And we're always reminded that's the way life is. Things are always changing. And we appreciate the Lord this morning. Matthew chapter number 13, verse 24 through 30. Matthew 13, verse 24 through 30. And what a blessing again it is to be able to stand one more time as God's mouthpiece in saying that. I do want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer and pray for His best in this service this morning. Matthew 13, verse number 24 through 30, after we pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. God, I pray for Your best out of this service this morning. It's been great so far, but during the time of the reading and the preaching and applying of Your word, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would help me to rightly divide and rightly apply. We are preaching to a congregation, to viewers on Facebook, listeners on our webpage, and it's a mixed crowd. It's a mixed crowd. People are here for different reasons. People are needing a word from You. There are others who came out of obligation to someone, coming because it was a favor to someone. But Father, it's no mistake that they're here. So I pray for a clear head, a calm heart, power from on high as we attempt one more time to preach Your word. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Right, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 13. Notice, if you would, in verse number 24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?' He said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servant said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" That's reading this morning, Matthew chapter 13, verse number 24 down through verse number 30. If you haven't found your spot. Let me say by way of introduction that Jesus has went into a ship and departed from the shore so that He could speak to the multitudes. Verse number 1 and 2 says this of chapter 13, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And so we know that Jesus is using a boat for his preaching spot. And the crowd is on the shore. And what we find is that Jesus is choosing to speak in parables to the crowd. Verse 3 says that. And he spake many things unto them in parables. We know that a parable is an earthly story that carries a heavenly meaning. And we know that Jesus spoke this way because the people didn't understand. Some didn't want to hear the gospel, but the majority just didn't understand. So he spoke to them with earthly stories, bringing forth his message. Look at verse 13. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So we have in this chapter the parable number one of the sower. And the Bible says that in verse number 3, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And we find out that in this parable, this earthly story that carries a heavenly meaning, that there were four types of ground by which the sower sowed his seed. There was the grounds that used the phrase the wayside in verse 4. Verse number 5 is stony places. In verse 7 is among the thorns. Verse 8, praise the Lord, is good ground. And so we have statistics here that 3 out of 4, the word of God, which is what the sower is sowing, does not fall into good ground. 1 out of 4, the word of God finds a resting place. We mentioned the wayside, the stony places, the thorns, but then the good ground. I don't know how relative or true that is, looking at ratios. I can't say that 1 out of 4 gets saved, but it is something that the Bible mentions and it's worth looking into and carries a lot of meaning. And so there was the need of interpretation of this first parable. So, verse number 19, Jesus tells the interpretation thereof. He says, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth the way that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And so he's telling us that there's an enemy who wants to catch away that which has been sown or attempted to be sown. Verse number 20 speaks of the stony places. This is the one who receives seed into stony places. The same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself. And so there's also a crowd in every given church service and in the world that the word of God, when it goes forth, either lands by the wayside, they hear it, but the devil comes by and steals it, or that it falls on stony places, shallow ground. They get excited when they hear the word. They may even come to the altar when they hear the word. But verse 21 says, yet hath no root in himself. There is no root system. There is no foundation. The Bible says, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended. And let me just go on record and say, this is why we're having a first steps class. A first steps class. So that these new converts can get some root in themselves in the Word of God. So that when tribulation does arise and adversity arises, that they don't leave church, skip out on God, but that they have some root. They have a root system. But then there's the thorns, verse 22. And he, or he also that receives seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So there's the ones where the seed lands among the thorns, and this is symbolic to things in a person's life that they're doing habitually and continually that choke out every good seed of God's word that goes into their heart. But thank God for verse 23. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we see that one out of four places, the seed found a lodging place and brought forth fruit. It doesn't matter how much fruit. What matters is there was fruit. You'll find in the house of God that there are some who bear a little fruit. Then you'll find there are some who bear more fruit. And then there are some who bear much fruit. And so we have different amounts of fruit, but the main thing is that there's fruit being bared. The Bible says that someone who hears the word of God and digests the word of God and puts into action the word of God is the one where the seed finds a lodging place and there will be fruit in their life. Now, verse number 24, we get to another parable. Somewhat like the last parable, but a different glimpse. And this morning, I want to look at this parable, if I could, for a few moments. And it is the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the weeds and the wheat, however you want to look at it. The wheat and the tares. There are four things that I see in this parable that I want to mention. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, let today be the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, examine yourself to see if you're even in the faith. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number 24, I see a person. The Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And so in verse 24, we see a man, we see a person. He says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. Or a good definition of the kingdom of heaven would be gospel dispensation, the church age, or the kingdom of heaven. It resembles the gospel. It is a time by which the word of God is going forth and working. So we see that there is a man that is sowing good seed in his field. We know that this man is symbolic of Jesus. This man is the Lord, because he begins to speak to the crowd in parables and explain the deeper truths and explain of the Bible and explain the gospel. The man that he's talking about that goes forth to sow is himself. But also we could say it's his apostles that are going forth and sowing this good seed. Good seed is also a picture of the word of God, which is good. So we have Jesus going forth to sow this good seed. We have the apostles going forth to sow good seed, but also this can be Christians in general that are going to sow forth good seed. You know, that is our calling, those of us that are saved this morning. We are called to preach the gospel, to go out to the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in, that his house may be full. We have not chosen him, but he hath chosen us and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit should remain. So we see a person here, and this person is going and sowing good seed in his field. The word field here It is a picture of the world. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was starting his public ministry, and he was sharing the gospel. He was picking his apostles, as we preached last Sunday night on Thomas. And he was going, and he was sharing the word, and he was preaching the word of why he came and where he's going and who could go with him. But their understanding was darkened. And so he spoke to them in parables. He says, listen, crowd, what I'm saying is that a sower went forth to sow seed, good seed, in his field. And I want to say this morning, that's the believer's job. That's my job. That's your job, those that are saved. And that's what Jesus is doing. In the day and time in which we live, all the way back from his day, and even days before his day in the Old Testament, God had a way of doing things then for gospel's sake. And so he is going in the world, and he is sowing good seed. He's using his apostles, he's using his disciples, and even today he's using us as believers. So we see here a person, Jesus, he is apostles, Christians, they are going to sow good seed in the world, the field. Now, I want to mention a second thing. Not only a person I see in verse 24, but I see a perpetrator in verse 25. What is a perpetrator? A perpetrator is a person who carries out a harmful or illegal or immoral act. We have a perpetrator. The Bible says in verse number 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. In this verse, I want to mention three things. Number one, I want to talk about what he sowed. Number two, when he sowed and why he sowed, this perpetrator. Number one, in verse number 25, we see what he sowed. The Bible says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Tares. What is a tare? Well, I mentioned a moment ago, a tare is a weed. It's false grain. And so that's what he sowed. And so we have a picture of a garden, a grounds that have been tilled. That have been broken up, that have been seeded with good seed. And now we have a picture of the workers going to sleep. The Bible says, but while men slept. And so possibly this is at nighttime he's talking about. Then comes the creeper. Then comes the perpetrator. The seed has been sown, the ground has been tilled, and it has been watered, and there's expecting some good things to come from the ground by which the sower sowed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, sowed weeds among the tares, and went his way. And so what he sowed tares, but when did he sow? He sowed while men slept. He sowed at nighttime. He sowed in the dark. He was maliciously sowing. He had a bad motive as to why he was sowing. He was sowing so that there would be a mixture of good and bad. He was sowing so that the weeds would possibly choke out the good. This perpetrator, he sowed. And not only do we see what he sowed, when he sowed, and it was at nighttime in the dark. But we see why he sowed. Notice verse 25, that last phrase, and went his way. And this perpetrator, after he sowed these seeds called tares, these weeds, he didn't walk up on the front porch and sit till morning and say, oh, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? I want you to know that I sowed a lot of stuff in your garden last night. But the Bible says that he went his way. He wasn't on the front porch with a cup of coffee and said, hey, Farmer Joe and servants of his. Y'all did a lovely job in the garden, but I want you to know that I just went over there and messed it all up. Oh no. You see, this perpetrator, this enemy, he does his work in the night season. He does his work when things are dark. He has malicious intent. And what goes on in our world, what goes on in our churches, and what even goes on in our homes is God is up to something good. But at the same time, the devil is up to something bad. The devil is always on the prowl trying to sow tares among the wheat. He's sowing seeds of religion. He's sowing seeds of trouble. He's sowing seeds of discord. He's sowing seeds of heartache. That's what this perpetrator does. And that's why he went on his way. Because he had malicious intent. Now, let me say this morning, the devil is not your friend. The devil is not your friend. The devil is not your homeboy. The devil is your enemy. And Jesus, he came so that we might have life and we might have abundant life. And he is working his way through this world, even today, using his ministers, using his disciples, using his believers to sow good seed. But I have a feeling that the day and time in which we live, there are some in our world, and there are even some in our churches who do not possess real, genuine salvation, and they come along even in our churches to sow evil seed. For a child of God is after unity. A child of God is after peace. A child of God is after love. But someone who is a tear, someone who is a weed, they do not possess true, genuine faith or grain. They come in the world causing havoc. They come in the world causing pain. They creep in our churches unaware and they stir up trouble and they stir up heartache. Let us not be a church that sleeps. Let us as individual Christians, let us not be those that sleep in our world but go out and preach that Jesus saves. And once you are saved, there's a certain walk that must be walked. Certain way that must be walked. So this morning, we see that there is a perpetrator, and he's working 9 to 5 plus, trying to sow in God's garden. And my prayer is this morning that everybody in this room is a wheat and not a weed. Now, I know better to know to even possibly a crowd our size. Who knows who's all watching on Facebook? And I know in the world that everybody is not a wheat. Everybody that says I'm saved is not saved. And so I believe this parable by which Jesus is teaching, he is differentiating the true from the false. He is telling us that in the field of the world, it is a mixed bag. It's a mixture of those who know Jesus and those who don't know Jesus. Those who want to cause peace and harmony and those who want to cause trouble and anxiety. And so we see a perpetrator went on his way. There's a third thing I want you to see. Not only a perpetrator, a person, but a product. Look at verse number 26. We see a product here. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. We see a product. And the product is that the good seed that was sown produced wheat. Or in like manner, the good seed is pictured here as wheat. And we know that eventually that good seed was going to produce something. It worries me this morning when somebody says they know the Lord. It worries me this morning when somebody says they know Jesus and there never is any fruit. It worries me this morning when someone is is always so critical and coming to me and saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. And there's never any rest in their spirit. There's never any desire to want to motivate and encourage the body. There's always a stripping down and tearing away. I wonder if we're dealing with wheat and tares in the church. I think we are. Because when there is good seed of any kind sown in the ground, there's going to come up fruit from that. At the appropriate time, this wheat showed. It said, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, listen to this, then appeared the tares also. Listen to me. This is what makes it so complicated to really discern who knows the Lord and who don't. We have fruit as an indicator, but listen. He says, when that blade sprung up, when that fruit appeared, then you was able to differentiate the wheat from the tares. Which tells me there is a time in the growing process of a weed and the wheat where there is similarities. Both seeds are planted, and then one day, boop, boop, there's a little stub. Well, we have wheat here. That's what we planted, is what the field worker is saying. And then it starts to grow and even gets a stalk on it. Still, it looks the same. And in our world, in our churches, and even in our homes, there are those who say they're Christians but are not. And there are those who are genuine Christians, but there's a time, and we're living during a time where there's a close similarity. Oh, Brother Justin, I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I have a bumper sticker on my car that says, honk if you love Jesus. Oh, Brother Justin, I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved because I have this shirt that says, real man love Jesus. That don't mean a person's saved. Because there is a time when these two, the weed and the wheat, are growing where they look identical. There's people who say the right things, and they go to church, and they even tithe and do all of these things, but they're really not saved. As I said a moment ago in the beginning, this is a message for those who are not saved, but also for those who are saved, so that it might cause us to re-examine ourselves to make sure we're saved. I'm not trying to confuse anybody. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, a true Christian, a true person who's been blood-bought will have fruit to bear. There will be fruit. And so we see a product here. At the appropriate time, wheat showed forth. This wheat exposed the weeds. Now, let me move on to a fourth thing, and that is a plan is what we see here. A plan. A person, a perpetrator, a product, but a plan. In verse 27, the Bible says, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We see a plan here, and the first part of this plan actually started with a question in verse 27. Those servants questioned what was taking place. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? They questioned where the tares came from. They questioned where these weeds originated. Then in verse number 28, we see the truth. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And so we see here that the sower said, an enemy done this, came in and sowed these false seeds in our field. And so the men said, well, why don't we just go and gather them up? Why don't we just get them out of the way? And then we have the truth in verse number 28. And then in verse number 29 and 30, we have the harvest. Notice what he says in verse 29. But he said, nay. So the workers wanted to pull up those weeds now, get them out now, deal with them now. Nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. What does that mean, Brother Justin? It's kind of like this in layman's terms. He said, no, let's don't go through there pulling up the weeds because you may grab a wheat. It's kind of like having a church problem. And there are those who are troublemakers and their objective is to do nothing but cause trouble. And so the idea is in the church, troublemakers have to be dealt with. And there is church discipline. But some things and some church problems can get so complex and can be ingrained so deeply if you were to just get out of church. Don't ever come back. If you were to do that, you could damage some of the wheat. Oh, well, you just don't know who you kicked out of the church. You kicked out my uncle. And the uncle may not have been saved, and the person shaking the finger may be saved. And so it's kind of that idea. That's why church discipline is the very last thing that a pastor or deacons ever want to do. And so he says, let's just rip them out. And listen, there's times when we feel like, let's just get rid of that rascal. It may be in church. It may be just somebody on the job or at school. Has anybody ever had anybody in their life they just can't stand? Just get out of my life. Lord, why don't you just get them out of my life? I'm sure everybody has had somebody like that. I know I have. But you see, we've got to be careful. The Bible says, do not take revenge for yourself. Do not seek out revenge on yourself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You leave all the sorting out up to God. You do the right thing. I mean, listen, someone offends you, go to them. But if it's more deeply rooted than that and it's complex and it's difficult and there's good people involved and bad people involved, let the Lord deal with it. Because you can cause more damage than good if you're not careful. But notice verse number 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. That's what's taking place in our world today. We have wheat and we have weeds. We have those who are genuine, professed believers, not based on anything that we do, but just who we confessed and believed in our heart and accepted as our Savior. And then we have the weeds, those who the evil one is motivating. Those who took on a form of religion. Well, if I just go to church, check. If I just get baptized, check. If I just, you know, pray a little prayer, check. If I get baptized, check. If I do all these things, check. That's a form of religion. There's no personal relationship. There never was a time and place where you said, I want to be saved. I need Jesus as my Savior. I do not want to go to hell when I die. There's never been a time and place. And so in our world, there is a mixed field in our world. And so he says, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. First, there's going to be the call as the writer Jesus is saying here, in visual form. There's going to be a time where the call will be to gather the tares and to bind them together and to throw them in a big old pile and to burn them. I think it goes without much interpretation to say what this is here. This is the final destination of the unbeliever. Those who have truly have not accepted Jesus as their Savior, they will be burned in a place called hell forever and ever, where the worm dieth not. We don't want anybody to go there. That's why we preach like we do. That's why we teach like we do. That's why we have church three times plus a week like we do. That's why we're going to have Sunday nights plus, so that someone may come in and someone may say, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died, heaven to be my home, but I want to know. That's why we do what we do. We don't want anyone to go to a devil's hell. And this is what the picture, this is what the story pictures. But then he says, but gather the wheat into my barn. Those where there was good ground. Those where the word of God was shared and it found a lodging place in your heart. And you said yes to salvation's plan. Those are the ones that will be gathered one day. And we'll go to heaven's barn, where we will forever celebrate the one who sowed the good seed in our heart. And so we have the plan. And the plan is, let them both grow together. And that's the truth this morning, whether in the world, whether in the church, whether at the home place, there's always a mixed number of people. And let me just say that only you know if you truly possess Jesus as your Savior or not. It's nothing confusing. It's nothing, should not be nothing confusing. Should not be anything that's hard to understand. It's plain gospel truth. Let me just mention this as we get ready to close. Becoming saved is as simple as ABC. And keep in mind, it's not the prayer, but it's the heart that calls on God. This is just a structure. Salvation is as simple as ABC. A, admit. Admit that you are a sinner like we all are. Separated from God by the original sin, Adam and Eve in the garden. Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that sin has been passed down to you. It's been passed down to me. That's the first step in getting saved, is admission. It's just admitting that I'm a sinner. I sin. The sin is the fruit. The sinner is the root. And so, or maybe it's backwards. Maybe it's the sin that is the root. The sinner is the fruit. I think it's that way. And so there's A for admit. There's B, which is believe. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to go to hell if I do not get saved. I will not ever discover God's purpose for my life if I do not get saved and accept Him as my Savior. So I believe in my heart. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But then there's C, and I just read it to you. Or I'm getting ready to read it to you. That is confession. A, admit. B, believe. C, confession. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a wheat or are you a tare? Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Pray that you'll give liberty during this time of invitation. Let it be easy for someone to come and handle whatever business they feel led to handle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Feel free to come and have a time of prayer if you need to.
Just as I am without one plea, but then shared for me and I
Some are coming. Maybe you need to come this morning. Continuing to sing.
Just as I
this is the place where you find help and hope. Don't be bashful. Don't be shameful. We're all here for a reason. Continuing to give the invitation while there's some here.
Just
don't put it off till you feel better. You'll never come at all.
Thou will
come now. Softly as we conclude the service, and I want to say thank you so much for being here, and I hope you really think about what we are trying to do on Sunday nights. It's really for all of our benefit. Just trying to do something new for a little while, see what happens, and so I hope you're part of that. All right, remember choir practice today at 4 o'clock as we get ready for Easter. Easter's coming up fast. And just remember all the announcements we said this morning. And be sure to pick up a bulletin where you can stay up to date on what's going on. And if you have Facebook, log on occasionally. And that's probably more of an accurate reading. That's updated a couple times every day as opposed to the bulletin is weekly. All right. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Everybody be safe. And then tonight we're going to go in a different direction. If the Lord keeps my heart in a certain area, we're going to talk about different kinds of faith. Different kinds of faith. And so maybe talking about that, may not. We'll see. All right. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Everyone have a great afternoon. And Lord willing, we'll see you here in a little while. Brother Don Nettles, would you close us?